The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gami Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. than anything, we will end suffering. If anything suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
This nice thing happened yesterday, I guess. Maybe it was the day before. Anyway, I've been working on a 300-for-1,000 project, and it involves some artwork. And it was going really well. I was very pleased with it. And then I did this last step, almost last step. And it was interesting because I knew I really didn't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it, and it didn't turn out well.
Mm-hmm.
And at least I think it didn't turn out well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's always interesting. Yeah.
Yes. And it's all on the same surface. And so where I went was, I ruined the whole thing.
It's ruined. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's ruined. And so I kind of just gave up in despair and disgust, you know, and went and distracted myself with playing a computer game. You know, just get away from it. And then what came up was, well, just set it aside and come back to it later and see if you ruined it.
Uh-huh.
And then also see if you can learn how to do this thing you didn't do well.
Mm.
And what came up as the kind of message I'm sure from the mentor was, so just play.
Uh-huh.
Just
yeah.
play with that process.
Uh-huh.
And then just see what happens.
Yeah.
And it was such a wonderful antidote
mm-hmm.
to that, where conditioning wanted to spiral me down to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it made it sound like fun.
Uh-huh.
And it really made it clear that maybe you'll learn to do it and maybe you won't.
Yeah.
Maybe this is redeemable and maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
But just play.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so interesting because the way you describe it, it sounds like you got what you wanted in the process, where conditioning was attempting to convince you that it was going to be the content, in this case, the outcome of the art project, that was going to give you the what you wanted.
Right.
And it's really fascinating how it sounds like there were these two choices. So the first one was distraction. Don't look at it. Don't kind of just get away from it. And then the mentor coming in to have you actually looking at it. And then it completely turned it around, and then you got the gift of the process. Within the process, you get what you want.
Yeah, thank you. I hadn't seen that shift, but yeah, yeah. And just in a way, you know, as I approach this thing, this project, I actually have approached it sort of from a playful way and a playful attitude, and I haven't taken it terribly seriously. I'm aware I don't really know what I'm doing. And
did you say you have not taken it terribly?
I've not taken it seriously in the sense of grimly.
Right, right.
And I've been aware that I'm kind of feeling my way along. I'm using some new materials I've never used.
Yeah.
And it's been fun. And I've also been aware that I don't know how I'm going to do the final steps.
Mm-hmm.
And each step along the way, I've just said, well, I only have to do this step.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it really has been a nice process piece.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it feels like yeah, just what we pointed out, that, well, in a way, I think actually dropping it and walking away was a good thing.
Maybe yeah.
There's too distraction. I had to get away from it. But then the mentor coming in and reminding me that really all we're doing here is experimenting and seeing what we can learn and playing with it and returning me to process.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great catch on the mentor's part.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Because the dropping it and walking away from it was, so, I mean, at first you dropped and walked away from it into, quote, you said distraction, right. into a computer game. But then the mentor came in and sort of a, not go back and try again,
no.
but a offering you another perspective in that walking away from it, staying present to it,
right.
instead of going unconscious, basically.
Right. Yep.
And
yep.
in that, you really got to see it. And it's interesting how you say along the way, there's been this taking it lightly and not grimly and seriously, and realizing that you don't really know how to do it, mm-hmm. which is, sounds like that's part of the fun, mm-hmm. and that at each step, there's only just this step. And then it sounds like for a while it just happens to have gone really well. And that can be a challenging place, can't it?
It's easier to play when it's going
well. Yeah, yeah. Well, and it also, it's a place where conditioning can start to come in and hook, because yeah. there can start to be an investment in the, okay, now it's good.
Right.
So it can, if we're not careful, it can take the playfulness away from it. But
yeah.
there's the mentor to really assist you in, oh, let's just play, let's see. And I love that, the... let's see if we can learn how to do this thing.
Right. Right.
So maybe it didn't go well. Maybe it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. Okay, well, let's see if we can learn.
Yeah. And interestingly, this particular thing, even if it happened, even if I completed it next year,
yeah.
it's not time sensitive.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, hopefully the 300 for 1,000 is, but even if it wasn't, you know,
yes.
it's like I have eternity to do yeah. this. And so yeah. I can play actually as long as I want to.
I love that. And, you know, for folks, this gets recorded and sent out to people, so for anyone who doesn't get to listen to it, there's a Thursday radio show around the topic, and as you're talking, it's just, I'm appreciating how many people call in with that attitude of mind of just inquiry and play and that sort of thing, and how nice it is, the encouragement that, yeah, I mean, there's $1,000 that we're all sort of shooting for by the end of, you know, whenever this process ends. But that isn't at all the point.
Right.
The point is the process that you're seeing as you go through it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very grateful.
Thank you. Jim.
I have a very utilitarian reason for putting my hands up. I don't have any eternity. I've got some work to do. It's past deadline. And I just won't do it. And I cannot get her to do it. Well, you are not doing this.
I cannot get her to do it.
whatever the pronouns are.
There's someone who needs to get it done, and someone is not being successful in making her do it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so what I'm hoping is that by saying it out loud, mm-hmm. The energy will move, or something. That's very utilitarian here.
Okay, so there
needs to get done.
There's something that needs to get done. There's an I who really doesn't want to do it, and there's a process of some other I, we're not sure who that is, trying to make someone do it, and that you're hoping by talking about it there might be a shift around it.
Yes. Yeah. Let's see. The adjectives are boring. Kind of stupid.
Stupid?
Stupid, yeah, repetitive. I'm tired of this. I've done it so many times. I don't want to do it again.
Uh-huh.
I need help, and no one's helping me.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hot.
Anyone relate to that one?
I'll do it later. I mean, that's just.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Uh-huh. So it's boring, you're tired of it, you need help, no one's helping you, it's too hot, and sort of where it lands is, I'll do it later.
Yeah. And there's also somebody who says, I can't do it. Of course, she can't.
Yeah.
There's another one who's not quite the same, but who says, I can do it, but I can't do it very well. Uh-huh. I think that's where I'm stuck.
Uh-huh.
That's where I'm stuck.
It feels
I, like, yeah. I don't have the information I need, and so I'm just going to base this stuff up and it's not going to be needed.
And so every piece of that conversation that you laid out, this is boring, I don't want to, it's awful, I need help and I don't have it, I can't do it, well, yeah, I can do it, but I don't really know, and it's not going to, I'm not going to do it well, I don't have the information I need, so it's not going to turn out well. I mean, all of that is a, it's sort of a big no wonder someone doesn't want to do it, you know, living in that conversation.
Yes. I think some part of me, probably 65 at the end of the year, and I think someone retired.
It's really
happening. Telling me.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, and if that's the case, and no one's kind of paying attention to her decision, sure.
I'm sorry, she does not get to make that decision. She can retire, but her work doesn't stop.
Yeah, right. But if there's no sort of checking in on who is that and what happened there, and so she retired, and yet who's now going to do the work? You know, where does that leave us?
Well, she. The feeling of her, mm-hmm. of that, enough, I want to do something else, mm-hmm. dovetails with the Enneagram 9 karma, mm-hmm. Just later, maybe.
Push to move through. So it sounds like there's an inertia that gets set in place somehow, and it can be really difficult to kind of push through that to get started, and that it feels like going way past the deadline with that external force coming in, that's often what it takes to move past that inertia.
Yeah, and then when that happens, boy, do I get my meeting for being that person, get talked into being it, and then they get feeding up.
There's the setup. Oh.
Yeah, there's the setup. Okay, thank you.
So it's just so that radical place that we're so often unwilling to go. So if the whole thing is just a giant setup for self-hatred, what if we had the courage and the willingness to extract that piece of it? So what if it goes that way? All the same things happen, you know, for whatever reason, there's that inertia, has to wait for the external pushing, and then it happens. What if all that happened without self-hate?
I think without self-hate, it wouldn't happen at all.
Right.
I'll just go on this afternoon and get it done.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's going to take.
That's right.
To have 2 hours.
Yeah. Exactly. And then June wouldn't have to get dragged through this drama, and the end result being self-hate every time. If it were just sit down, do it, done.
Yeah, and it's a piece of the work is that it's revisable later. It doesn't have to be final form mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And somebody who wants to win. What she's done, what she's going to do, she's not ever going back to it.
Uh-huh.
I don't ever want to see this again.
Uh-huh.
But so that's another player, another bit of sadness or resistance.
Kind of a sense, I'm not sure if I'm tracking, but that you've got to really do it well the first time so that you won't have to go back to it? That's what I mean?
Regardless of whether anybody else likes it, I'm done.
I'm done with it. Yeah.
But, you know, the Sherry's like next book is on resistance. And so I think this would be a great story.
And if we could go through it with eyes completely wide open, with full consciousness, then what a workshop it is.
Yeah.
To just see, wow, okay, this is what resistance is to this being in this form.
Yes. And the work is around the book. Of the second book.
Oh, perfect. Well, and how fun and relevant if that were the, you know, the example. Because it's so it's not the work that we do, the writing that Sherry does, it's not some idea of something else. I mean, it's what goes on in our life right here, right now. Yeah. Writing the book. Yes.
Well, I'm really glad to hear everybody's saying. About my own 300,000 project as people are talking. And it really is, I think we all do the same thing. It really all feels like we all do the same thing with everything.
Yeah.
But anyway, for me, it really, as you were just implying, it really does come down to self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's a writing project, and I avoided working on it for years, basically, actually. I would work on it for a little bit, and then it would just die. And the reason was self-hate.
Mm.
I would just look at it and just self-hate would see it through my eyes, and it would just look like nothing good.
Mm. See it through its eyes, we can guess. It kind of puts a filter up there. So every time you sit down to look at it, you just get more self-hate. Mm. So what a perfect way to get you to turn away from it.
Yeah, and of course, again, it's just kind of like my heart is in it.
Your heart is in it.
My heart is in it.
Uh-huh.
And so that makes it even more, it makes it more vulnerable to self-hate because there's this kind of open place that I have to go to in order to do it.
Yeah.
And the opening is there for self-acceptance and self-compassion, but that the same opening, that self-hate comes through that same opening.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the karma is very much with the self-hate or the compassion.
Yeah.
It just kind of feel like boxes into.
Well, so it's an opening for self-hate, and there's huge reason for self-hate to come in there, because the potential for you to have that acceptance of yourself and the compassion and the love and all of that that's so sort of inherently in the project is so dangerous to self-hate.
Yeah, it really is. And kind of the fun thing, I mean, I for a long time wondered if this would ever happen, but I'm having the other experience now, and have been since, early last winter. When I decided, it was actually quite a little bit before the 300,000 thing started, but I realized, if it's going to happen, it's going to be now. I cannot go along with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a commitment to do it, and then 300,000 thing happened, and that really kind of gave a structure for it to happen. The timing was exquisite.
Yeah.
And I'm having exactly the experience, for the most part, that, that program was designed to produce. I've been very lit up about it.
Mm-hmm.
The energy's moving all the time about it, and it's been such a helpful learning thing in terms of self-hate, because kind of like what Cindy was saying earlier about play, I'm not looking at exactly those words, but it's like that. Like it really just has to be for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because the self-hate is attached to, of course, what other people.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't particularly care about what other people think,
it
has a whole. Yeah. If it's really just for me.
Yeah.
Then it really has not a whole lot to grab hold of.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like it really provides the being with a whole zone of safety, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If there really isn't any caring what other people, in quotes, think about that, then there's no way for it to attack you on that front.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, I don't know, we'll see, is it, I don't know what happens with it, but with whatever happens with it, whether, how true that is, if there isn't an attachment to that,
mm-hmm.
hard to know really, you know, until that actually hits the road, but it does feel like it. It does feel like there's just a big space for it. You know, this is completely for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I love doing it. I love being involved with it. And then, you know, if nobody else ever has that experience,
yeah.
that's going to be completely okay. Because
yeah.
I've gotten everything from it and continue to, actually, as I work on it, that I really am doing before.
Yeah. Well, and even as you go along, you know, as you say, we'll see if there's really not an attachment to that. Even if there were, sort of, if that got revealed in various places, what a great workshop to continue, because it sounds like the intention behind it, is to not have that relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if that sort of karma is hiding in various places, great, because that's your chance to keep seeing through that.
Yeah, that's really true. Another way I've been thinking about that is, I've not been saying this to myself for a long time about, you know, as it hasn't been happening, that I'm waiting to become the person who has written this thing. And I think that there's a lot of truth in that. And I think the person is, you know, confident, not afraid of criticism. Basically, I mean, I can't say not in relationship with somebody because I've seen especially lately, I continue to be very much in relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
But within that parameter, within the context of that project, not in relationship with somebody, and just full of love and compassion for myself.
Yeah.
And I can see that that's the change that's happened that has allowed the thing to actually start to move on.
Yeah, that is so cool. I mean, that is such a great technique. So I'm waiting to become the person who has written this book. And so again, like we started off with, so conditioning is going to frame that literally in the content, but I haven't written the book, so I'm not that person. Yeah. But if you can access, which we all can, if we really, really stop and look at it, okay, how will I feel, who will I be when I've written that book, which of course you know that, because otherwise you wouldn't be in the middle of this project at all, you probably wouldn't have even set out on it. Okay, so who will I be, touch in with that, become that person, now you can write the book, or not, you know, it doesn't really matter, but that's such a great kind of backdoor way of starting with, how will I feel? Who will I be? How will that be when the thing is finished? Start there, and then it kind of opens the pathway to whatever the content.
Yeah, it's true. And with that, it's like there's, it feels like there's a timing involved in it that really has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we always talk about how, you know, it's life manifesting rather than anything we were creating. But as was being said earlier about, you know, taking one step at a time,
mm-hmm.
it's funny because it's like there's two tracks of that. There's one step at a time in terms of the actual project,
mm-hmm.
which is very much my experience. You just got to do this, and you really don't know what's going to happen next, and then you got to, oh, I see, I got to do this.
Right.
But then there's also that same thing happening on the process level,
mm-hmm.
so I need to let go of this. Oh, God, you know, this is really, you know. And so all of that, you know, it's all just kind of doing it on its own.
Yeah.
It's weird, even though, you know, weird, it is kind of weird, actually.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's
better
word
for
it.
Yeah. Even though it's actually my fingers that are pushing the keys,
It's
really not, it doesn't really have anything to do with it.
Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And what I saw in that is that sort of the, what we can bring to the table, if you will, is the ability to focus our attention here. Because if it really is life that's kind of leading this, whatever the steps are, so there's the, as you say, the content track, you know, there's this thing that needs to be done next and this thing, and then as that's going on, there's whatever the next process thing is to look at that's revealed. So life is sort of taking the next steps. And if we have the ability to focus our attention here, then we can just be led to those next steps. If we don't, then we can get into, oh my gosh, this is so big and I don't really want to, and what about? And you know, we can get pulled up into the conversation and not see how clear it is. All I have to do is this next thing and I can see what that is.
Yeah, it's really true. And I'm through the entire thing. Like I'm getting in the final stages of the thing, but I don't actually know. And so, because it could be that on one of those tracks, something has not come together yet, it actually wouldn't be surprising me at all. It's just, this is just another stage, and you know, maybe I'll publish the thing, you know, 80 too.
Right.
You know, when finally all this stuff has been ironed
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
But I have to keep that same attitude in mind because yeah. it's easy. Yeah, I can yeah. kind of feel how easy it would be to slide into
yeah.
some, there's some real perspective about this.
Right.
Instead of, it's just an evolving thing.
Yeah.
And especially when, at whatever point, it is kind of, quote, finished.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, more than any other time in the whole project,
yeah.
that needs to be that to your mind because,
really.
I mean, I actually had an experience of this. I put it out to folks a few months ago, just kind of as the first, you know, as the next step, mm-hmm. and got clobbered for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, there is so much potential in this for abuse
yeah.
That I just don't want
yeah.
to give any room for conditioning to come in about it.
Yeah.
So it needs to be like the you know, what we talk about with facilitation.
Yeah.
And you just walk out and everything by your hand.
Yeah. And what a great gift, really, that we're required always to do one thing, to have the attention here in the present moment and be with this person. That's it. And if we get, it's sort of like when the art project starts going really well, or when the thing is almost finished, mm-hmm. or when it's finished, those are really the times when conditioning wants to, you know, metaphorically kick back and turn on the television. You know, we're done now. But to know at this point in practice that what's required is just stay right here. Nothing's changed, nothing's different, just right here.
Yeah, it's really important. And it's good to have that kind of practice principle that goes along with the 300 for 1,000 program about, I don't know, really kind of the way to say it, but, you know, when we put our attention on what, you know, like what the heart level is going to be lit up and there's an energy that comes
yeah.
because that really is true.
Yeah.
I could have all kinds of things going on in the content of my life that I'm struggling over. And if I can engage with them and get, you know, get past the conditioning
yeah.
that's there, because that's going to be there,
yeah.
I mean, it just lights me up kind of no matter what happens.
Yeah.
And so to have that practice principle and know that, you know, when this thing ends, then, I mean, you know, I'm going to need to be looking for whatever the next thing is,
yeah.
you know, to continue having sort of that bridge
yeah.
through my life that, where there's the energy keep moving and it keeps yeah. self-hate sort of kind of pinned in the corner and,
right.
you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So really seeing that it's important, that one thing that takes care of the being and assists you in being here and being in well-being and all of that is to have something that really lights you up, that really, it's a place to put your energy, really,
of course.
Self-hate and lightness and all of that too, but I first just wanted to say I'm so excited that I'm here and I'm so grateful that there is this place and I get to remember it really is a physical place and there's all this amazingness
yeah.
and I'm just really grateful. Going to my hermitage, I just was in tears. Like, I have this beautiful, gorgeous space and someone made it so beautiful for me to practice there, and I'm really grateful that there is, the love feels really so palpable here, like everything, you know, the attention to all of the details of everything. It just feels like such love and such kindness, and so I'm really grateful. And I'm kind of looking at self-hate, like I just have this sense of like I don't have time for self-hate or something was what came in. I was like, oh, that's fun. But
there's too much love and care.
That's right.
I'll get back to that later.
Exactly. Like, you know, I mean, there's already, you know, been tons of self-hate because, of course, you know, I don't have the socks and the shoes and wear the dishes and, you know, the whole getting back to the routine is, you know, there's plenty of fodder for, you know, I'm doing everything wrong and all of that. And I can see how it's fine. I mean, of course, I want to, you know, get with the program so I can, you know, be a contribution at some point here, all of that. But it's like if I get lost in one of those, like, oh, I'm wrong, you know, then I'm not available to ever be a contribution for this person and for anybody else. Like, I don't have time to get into that, and I'm not interested in that, you know, is where I want to practice with anyway. Not to say that I may not go under periodically, but...
And then you'll see it, and you come back up, and that's what we're doing, right? Because
exactly.
It's always going to be there. Conditioning, self-hate is always going to be there to attempt to pull you under. And so great, when you get pulled under and you come back up, you get to see a little bit more about how it does that and how you don't want to put your life force there and where you really do want to live and where you really do want your energy to be.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and I was looking a little bit with, so fear is a great way that it likes to get me. And I was seeing, you know, it loves fear at night, I think is common for a lot of people. So when I'm home, it's that I'm in an urban environment and someone's going to come and kill me. And now I'm at the monastery, so...
The bear's going to come.
Exactly, right. So it's, you know, whatever. It will just adapt to the content. So last night, you know, it was coming in and, you know, I'm going to be so terrified and stuff. And I just, I saw, like, in a different way how the fear, it, like, I'm sure there's still so much more to see, but, like, I don't know how to put words to it. Like, it feels like self-hate, like, throws out this little kid or something, and then the little kid knows how she's supposed to act and she's supposed to get, just feel horrible and all of this. Mm-hmm. But I just saw, and then when I become identified with her, you know, forget it, I'm lost wherever there, but mm-hmm. I just got to see more of, like, oh, I think I sometimes get wrapped up in the fear and, oh, this is really scary. I guess I get identified there. But it was more of a chance to see, this has nothing to do with fear, actually. And it doesn't have anything to do with a little kid. Like, the little kid's fine when I'm here.
Yeah.
It's just a tactic of self-hate.
Yeah.
And if it can have me, you know, here at the monastery or anywhere in my life, if I'm just, you know, oh, I'm surviving all the time because I'm terrified, everything's so scary.
Yep.
You know, I have no energy left for what, you know, what I want to be practicing and why I'm here for this month and everything else is I want to learn to be more of a contribution in my life and in every other life that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, that just takes me back to that, like, I don't want to give, you know, I want to keep that lightness of, like, okay, whatever, you know, and fine, you know, you get me sometimes, but yeah, I don't need to get involved in this because... I don't want to be lost in all of that. And it's not real. Like,
exactly.
I'm getting to see that more. Like,
yeah.
It's so not real.
Yeah.
I thought it was real for so long.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. And if that wasn't going to hook you, it would use something else. That it's not going to use that on someone who doesn't have anything going about night and bears and urban environments. It just
right.
doesn't torture people because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
So it's only doing that because that'll work.
Right.
There's
right.
nothing
Did
to
not
do
work.
With
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really good motivation, isn't it, to really stay here. Because as you say, when you're here, you're inherently with that little person, anyone who would be scared, who would be vulnerable to that. Because, of course, the grown-up isn't going to be scared by that.
Yeah.
You know, when the grown-up is going to get it, it's completely fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's never happened at the monastery, ever. What are the chances that I'm going to be the first group, you know, all of that. So it has to be a really little person that it preys on. And when you're here, you're just with that little person. She just is, you know, she can come to you because she knows you're there. There's no problem. And so seeing all of that really, really clearly is such motivation to stay here, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely,
It kind of takes care of the whole thing.
It does. thank you.
Thank you. So.
It's so great to be here. And, I'm just transitioning. And I've already seen a bunch of stuff. And one is just how much information I get from my eyes when I'm out in the world.
Yeah.
And here I get to this thing where it's like, okay, you can't use your eyes to get your usual information. You have to use other things. And so I'm like, being very, I don't know, it just feels, I'm not quite there yet, you know, so I feel a little bit disconnected because I sort of feel a little blind, yes.
In the sense of, because you're asked not to kind of look around at people and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and it's just, I don't even know who's here, I don't know who's bowed to me, it just feels like and that hasn't happened to me as much as when I've been here before, but for some reason now, I don't know if it's because I don't know, but it just feels like without, you know, with keeping custody of the eyes, it feels like it's taken me a little longer to get the other things that I usually use to get information up to speed, like we're here, and that's not how we engage. Or be in the world.
Yeah.
I'm not in the world. It's not how we exchange energy, or that's not how I understand the world.
Mm-hmm. So it's really mirroring for you how much in your day-to-day life you use seeing. You use yeah. visual to get to gather information and to, I don't know if you would say, feel light or whatever it is. But in some way, you really realize that you're using your sight a lot. Mm-hmm. And so here, where that's much more limited and you're asked not to look around at other people and make eye contact and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. you realize there's a sense of sort of blindness and not really having the information yet.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it feels quite exciting in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And it just feels a little disorienting.
Yeah. Well, which is a great place to be in practice, yeah. isn't it? Because of course when we're set, you know, we're on top of it. Great, no problem, I understand this, I know. I mean, where is that coming from? Right? Because I mean life is everything. A million different levels of, you know, information coming in all directions, that most of which we're not paying any attention to at all. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so great coming to the monastery, where for most of us it's completely different than we're used to in our day-to-day lives, just for that experience to mm-hmm. be, quote, disoriented, where kind of conditioning is thrown off its game, and we get to see so much. So for you, you know, like in your day-to-day life, I bet you don't think that much about sight, because you can look at whatever you want anytime you want. You don't realize how much there is going about that. So you're put in an environment where the guideline is not to do that. Suddenly you get to see everything that goes on with that.
Yeah, and what occurred to me while you're saying that was conditioning has a very special relationship with sight. And it has, and so I guess what I've most seen now is, yeah, just what, it's a little bit more about what that relationship is with it, and how it's sort of like a direct feed into the story.
Yes.
Whereas yeah. my other senses don't necessarily have that
yeah.
Relationship with it. So yeah. To cut it off like that,
yeah.
so immediate, if it was like, oh, okay. Like this is, yeah. you know, I don't know, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. It's really exciting because, you know, often with a thing like that, it can feel like, okay, I got to get back to my, you know, let me just get back to how I need to feel to be. Mm-hmm. But really, that's conditioning getting back in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And to have that kind of, ooh, I hope I can feel disoriented for as long as possible sense, because, of course, what's happening is it's not in the driver's seat. You're getting to see one way, it sounds like, how it kind of controls your attention. Mm-hmm. You know, that direct feed into the story, that's a powerful statement.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's been, I think, too, the coming here, you know, this, I was here last year, and so a lot of the usual stuff isn't there, or a lot of the yeah, just a very different experience mm-hmm. coming here now, because it's not, you know, the new stuff is sort of peeled away, and now I'm at a different layer of experience, and, you know, not, so it's...
The new stuff meaning, kind of last year you were here, and you kind of got the ropes a little bit, and that's
yeah, like new as in the sense of this is where this building is, this
right.
is what the
right.
toilet paper
yep.
thing is,
yeah,
and
yeah.
like so just
got
the ropes exactly.
Yep.
So now that is
yeah, that's
nice. Is mm-hmm. you know, and so now there's this other thing. Of,
you're kind of freed up past the
exactly.
okay, where's the toilet paper now? You,
right.
you've
it's
got
not
the
logistics.
Yeah.
Like the logistics
yeah.
stuff is so. It's like
yeah.
immediately I was able to
yeah,
not.
Right.
I don't have the logistics stuff happening
yeah.
right now. So now I get this other experience
yeah.
of what
yeah.
it's like to come directly from an urban environment
yeah.
to this.
Yeah.
And just get a sense of you know, it's just this amazing. I mean, I just was sitting here and I was like, wow. I think for the first time, I was like, I know, I just got a sense of what life sounds like. Like, conditioning to me is talking,
mm-hmm.
and I just was sitting here, I was like, oh, I got a sense of, I've often had a sense of what it was like to be there, but to know what it sounds like
mm-hmm.
was incredible to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just had that during
uh-huh.
the sit, like,
uh-huh.
okay, because conditioning is very obvious what it sounds like,
yeah.
you know, it's talking to you,
yeah.
you know, but
yeah.
life, I think, is a little bit, it doesn't, what does it sound like, and
uh-huh.
so... When I was just sitting here, I got to hear it in my body, I got to hear it in, out there, and it's like, wow, this is, now I know what to listen for.
Oh, that's
you
really
know?
Neat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas before it was sort of like, don't listen to conditioning.
Uh-huh.
Where now I might have this other option of like, this is what you listen for,
uh-huh.
instead of this opposite pushing. Anyway.
Yeah, what does life sound like?
What does life sound like?
Yeah,
I got a lot going on.
Welcome to the monastery.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
That's great. Ashwini.
So I have a couple of things to talk about. One is I'm just very, very grateful to be where I am right now. Mm-hmm. It's been maybe 9 weeks of really, really intense being ego to the grindstone experiences, mm-hmm. and you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, in everywhere I can think of, I think I've been really challenged to let go of so much, mm-hmm. and it's been painful, mm-hmm. really, really painful. And you know, Mercury's retrograde, so
say that again.
Mercury's in retrograde, four more days.
Was coming.
And it's like all of the unresolved issues that that need closure at this level of consciousness, mm-hmm. were all up for me. Mm-hmm. And so the feeling is just such gratitude that the storm is over, uh-huh. and that now there's the healing that happened that I wasn't conscious of when the storm was raging.
Yeah.
And so just to be in that place where I'm going, I'm not being buffeted anymore. This whatever was possessing the form that had to be worked through,
yeah.
there's a very visceral sense that it's gone mm-hmm. at the layer that it needed to be addressed.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So I have gone through enough storms, perhaps not at this level of intensity, to know that the next storm will come.
Yep.
And that there will be another layer that has to be addressed with that level of or not intensity, mm-hmm. but the sense of peace mm-hmm. And gratitude that I was given that sense of a set of circumstances
yeah.
to work through it
yeah.
In such a big way,
yeah.
and the part of the experience I haven't had is, you know, that it's truly finished in at this level mm-hmm. of layer. So the morphing of it and how it shows up mm-hmm. on a karmic level, I'm sure will continue in various ways. But a really deep sense of healing
mm-hmm.
That I've never been aware of. And mm-hmm. I truly feel like I've moved into a different level of being because of it. And you know, just the grace of life that it would set it up that way,
mm-hmm.
and then I would have that place where the consequence of it is this huge welling of creative expression.
Mm-hmm.
And so the arc of that was there's a retreat that is coming up that I'm working on the curriculum for,
mm-hmm.
and I've been looking at it for 6 weeks
mm-hmm.
without being able to receive one piece of information that would put it all together.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And so what? And then it happened like in 4 hours, day before yesterday,
wow.
right? And so that there was no way that could arrive
yes.
without all of what was blocking it
uh-huh.
to be completely removed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the interesting part is I also had the opportunity, really, really grateful, to facilitate a retreat recently
mm-hmm.
in the last 4 days. And two things that I saw in it were every transformation that happened in that room was a transformation for me.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yes.
So it was not that anyone else
yes.
got transformed necessarily,
yes.
but I got transformed at such a deep level
yes.
that sense of no separation,
yeah.
that it was a mutual energy thing that
yeah.
was happening,
because yeah.
it couldn't happen otherwise.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that visceral
yeah.
sense of
mm-hmm.
the level of trust in life
uh-huh. yeah.
is exponential. And
yeah.
one of the things that I recognize is I can watch it. Like
mm-hmm.
all these little sparks happening, this insights dropping in, and all of it just, it's all, the creation is happening inside,
uh-huh.
the transformation is happening inside,
uh-huh.
and there are more and more sparkly things here.
Uh-huh.
And the desire, which I afterwards recognize as conditioning, the desire to express it out and have it shared in some way for it to be real. That somehow the other, my whole, one other piece of karma is, if no one can acknowledge it, then how is it true? That valid, you know, that truth requires verification. It's something that I finally got to drop, because what I recognized is that all of these sparkles inside just contribute to my sparkle.
Yes.
So it's the energetic change here
that
is visible outside. And so I don't actually have to share the nuances of the transformation with anyone for them to be witness to the fact that it happened. Even for me.
Yes.
And so it's just been a brilliant
in fact, 9 weeks. In fact, that is the sort of wanting to, from what you described, wanting to express it in some way, and you made this motion of putting your hands kind of out there, is conditioning's movement towards taking it from you, or
that's
just
right.
taking it, we could say.
Well, yes, it, what I think the final piece of those 9 weeks was that the transformation is a transformation of state of being. And the image that came up for me is the sun, right? All of those fusion, fission things make it shine more brightly, right? So it's not like it's saying, hey, I'm sunshine.
Right. Yeah.
And so to not give the energy to conditioning, even in that way, that the contained sense of all that energy is what makes me makes life available in forms that are, I guess, potential versus kinetic. It's since the physics way I can think of it, right?
Uh-huh.
There's just all of that happening, and that's just available.
Yeah.
And that's actually just it.
Yeah. Well, and it really speaks to, so often we talk about practice is allowing the container to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds like in those last 9 weeks, there was really a, so often in the middle that we don't see it, but the container is expanding. It's a process of the container expanding. So there you are with all this, you said, creative energy just in there, and conditioning wants to kind of do something with it and push it out, but you have the ability to just, in this case, glitter.
Yes, sparkle. And the two things I would say is, for me, it was not so much, you're right, there is the expansion, but it's just such a falling away that there's nothing obstructing the sparkling outward.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that that even using conditioned mind, creativity in an expression requires an object output.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So if life wishes to use that energy in that way, then I'll be able to write or deliver a curriculum or whatever it is that the outpouring is going to translate into.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, it's just creative energy.
Yeah.
And I am a creative being, even if there's no creative output.
Yes.
And so it broke that connection between subject and, that is, if it isn't manifested, it doesn't exist.
Right. You said to make it, it feels like, it used to feel like, in order to make it real, it had to be out there in some way.
And acknowledged. So
and
that
acknowledged.
Was, that for me, TIAW was that, right? That if I'm not validated, if someone doesn't validate me, well, I can be completely valid without the validation.
Uh-huh.
And now it's not even about that.
Yeah.
It's just being.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think something Sherry said that comes to mind, which is, if you can't be with yourself, you can't be with anybody without anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just true in relationship with someone or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in relationship with something, right? That there is no requirement to create the mirror in order to just be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it can happen. We can have that illusion that I need to get validated by you, you know, some other person. It can also happen in relationship with things. I need to, I have all this creative energy, I need to express it in some object. But realizing, no, I don't. It can just be there.
And the validation is the experience of feeling created.
Yeah.
So it's just cool.
Well, and how great to have that, you know, you started out with, how you've been through many storms before and probably will be through many others as well. But it sounds like the new piece of it is really there's a feeling of, I can't remember if you use the word completion, but which allows you to have real gratitude for having been through those 9 weeks and knowing that, you know, it has to be that way. It's just how it goes.
Yeah, and it's also perfect, right? That throughout, I mean, I have recorded the levels of anxiety that the curriculum wasn't coming together. Mm-hmm. And now there's such space. Mm-hmm. It's only 4 days to the retreat, mm-hmm. but there's such space because it was delivered in such complete form.
Yeah.
And it's a level of, you know, the fulcrum changes, I think, when mm-hmm. we let go of certain places of ego, and I feel like the center of gravity has truly shifted uh-huh. to a different level of uh-huh. of being conscious,
yeah.
awareness, or touching, being able to touch it.
Yeah, which we can guess is always the case.
Yes.
It's always the case that we go through something, the center of gravity shifts. But what a gift to actually be able to see that, to experience that.
And I think it's closing the loop, because oftentimes, and this is what that final movement between having to have it validated, someone, something, and then just the state of being is that even if the center of gravity shifts, mm-hmm. oftentimes conditioning won't allow me to own it,
exactly.
right? And so this felt like a complete, mm-hmm. that part of me, the narrative was not, the end of the story was recorded in mm-hmm. conditioned mind. Mm-hmm.
The end of the story was not recorded.
Recorded in conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
So there's not even a remnant of, oh, well, it happened again, or, you know?
Yeah,
it's just completely that it ended in awareness. It didn't end in a narrative about what it was about.
Yeah. Boy, it just occurs to me, I can't quite see it, but what a fun workshop or tool that would be to offer to the Sangha is that, you know, assistance with completing that last step of any storm or any big karmic thing that we go through, because that's really, wow, to be able to do that, to not allow conditioning to write the end of the story,
would
be really, really big. Yeah. Sequoia.
So much has been helpful this morning. In that last share, I could see that was really useful for me. I too have been going through a period of just intense physical, emotional, mental, just, you know, and all the time thinking, you know, I have to figure this out somehow, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And that if it's not figured out, it's not valid, or, you know, and so.
If it's not figured out, it's not valid.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, somehow it has to have some kind of neat package around it that makes sense and meaning, and, you know.
Sort of you can go, oh, I see why.
I see why that happened. And
now we can.
Right. And it's, oh, good. It's been resolved, and, you know.
And kind of back to what we were looking at with Jill. Now I can go back to being me again, and I know what things are, and I
go through that.
Yeah,
and
right.
You know,
that's where,
right.
Which I would guess, going back to what we were just looking at with Ashwini, that's so often the ending that conditioning writes to the story. Each time that happens, oh, thank God I got through that.
Right. Yeah. So we'll just
completely
write that
forgetting,
off.
Wow, that was an amazing shift in gravity.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for that, but whoo, made it through that.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely different.
It just takes it.
Yeah.
And then I've been aware lately of, like, something shifted. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but grateful.
Yeah.
Grateful for the shift, nonetheless.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, as I was seeing people leaving the retreat, it's often kind of a point for me when people are leaving. Mm-hmm. Somebody comes forward, she like kind of wants to go,
uh-huh.
you know. And
you have any room in your car?
Yeah, you know. Oh. But just watching yesterday, and that just wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Just wasn't there.
Yeah.
I just was standing in the beauty,
mm-hmm.
and I was just standing in the beauty,
mm-hmm.
and it was good. And there was just no desire to be any other place. And just the gratefulness for that.
Yes.
And so I just didn't see until this morning, like, oh, well, that was kind of a shift.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And one of those things that can kind of creep up on us, huh? That
yeah.
not realizing that's been happening over time.
Yeah.
There's a process of transformation happening, and then just in one moment, there's something that mirrors that. Where
yeah.
before, you've always had this reaction.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, there was just standing in the beauty and grateful for that
yeah.
shift that's been happening all along.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, and there was no kind of conversation about it or anything. It was just kind of noticing, oh, that's different.
Yeah.
You know? And just the other thing I just wanted to speak about this morning is I've been working with an assignment I was given to make strengthening and fun a priority in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, from the guide, it was like big capital letters, no kidding, this is it. And so it's been an interesting it's been an interesting poem for me to figure out how to put fun into everything without having to change the content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've been seeing that it's easier for me to do strengthening because that can kind of fall into the no fun department.
Yeah, I can gut that out.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit hard to gut through fun, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? So I can go to the strengthening thing, you know?
Yeah.
I can do a little suffering around
yeah.
it a little, yeah.
Right, sure, that fits in.
And then, and the fun thing is just, it's amazing just how challenging that is. And so, I guess what people were talking about this morning, the 300,000 is, I think a lot of that just spoke to that, about, because I have a project. It's hard for you to say, I have a project, you know. It's interesting. And I was going to work on it today, and I could see that it was like not working on it from the place of just being present for life and having fun with it. It was just like, because I don't want to be a loser, you know?
One of those people who doesn't do their project.
Right, exactly, you know? And we're going to get through this.
Yeah.
You know, whereas actually inspiration, it felt something that came through that just felt like inspiration at the moment, like something I had never ever thought of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, and then it just came through.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy came to the group that night and said the thing that had just come through to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa.
okay,
do I need life to hit me over
yeah.
the head with, you know, another 2x4?
The clouds part, Sequoia.
Right. and still, yeah. Watching how that just wants to keep getting snatched
yeah.
away, and even in the doing it today, it would have been snatched
yeah.
away as, we're going to do this thing, you know. And it,
so it sounds like getting snatched away on the level of process.
Yeah.
So not that's a bad idea or don't do that,
right.
but instead coming around. So here's this thing that. Sounds like it just dropped in and there was inspiration with it and maybe lit upness and that sort of thing with it. And so the way it tries to take it from you is to turn it into, okay, got it out. Just,
mm-hmm.
you got to do this.
Yeah, yeah, and I recognize this person and she comes up a lot. It's just, we're just going to do it. You know, and doesn't, and just get done with it. You know, it, just hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just hurry. It doesn't really matter what it looks like in the end, but at least you can say you did it.
Mm.
And maybe almost a little bit of, well, if it doesn't work, that's kind of proof that,
yeah.
you know.
Well, almost like that's what it's gunning for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I let my, one of the things I have fun with is just to sit down with colored pens and just, a picture. And the other night I noticed I saw that coming through and it was like, just hurry, get through it. You can't do little detailed pictures. We don't have that kind of time.
Huh.
So just you gotta do a broad stroke thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I let her just, okay, you can have a little detail. doesn't matter if it takes you the rest of your days, you know, to finish this picture. And actually, I really like it.
Yeah, because who is this coming in to say, you don't have time to do exactly. a little, you need to. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm doing an art project that I just feel like doing. Right. I mean, there's truly no.
Right. We gotta hurry
up.
We gotta hurry and get through with this so we can feel bad about the next thing or something.
Yeah, really. I mean, yeah. It truly is a kind of a sobering, wow, this is the process that conditioning uses to rob a life, yeah. you know, to have an entire lifetime go by of just getting through it. Okay, did that. You know, it takes me back to little cellular conversations this morning, but especially the one we had with Justin, of looking at, okay, how, you know, reconnecting with that person who had that inspiration.
Yeah.
How is she going to feel when she gets to do that, when that gets to, you know, and starting there,
yeah.
even if it's not starting with the actual thing that yeah. she was going to do, but, okay, what do we want? We have some time today.
Yeah.
How do we feel? Okay, what would you know, assist her, me, however you want to look at that, to have that. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know, whatever, drawing a picture, painting, but whatever it is, letting her, giving her the time, not the content, but the time.
Right. Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. It's true. And that's fun.
And that's fun. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That's way fun.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. I'll report that.
Cool. Thank you.